Okay, once more. Welcome everyone to the CCNSO newcomer webinar. My name is Christina Nordstrom. I'm part of the CCNSO secretariat. And as you may know, this is an introduction to the CCNSO for newcomers and for people who want to learn more about how the CCNSO functions. And it's the second time we do this. The first time was prior to Beijing. And Bert and I and Gabby will take you through a presentation, and after that there will be some time for questions, but you're also welcome to interrupt if you think of a question during the presentation. We've predicted that the webinar might take around 30 minutes. Okay, Bert, will you start? You were muted, Bart.
Sorry. Thank you, Christina. For those of you who are not familiar with, say, the icon structure, but I see most of you are, the CCNSO is one of the supporting organizations, as is the ASO for the Regional Internet Registry, so that's the IP and AS numbering, the GNSO dealing with the generic top-level domains, and then you have the CCNSO dealing with the country code top-level domains. There are other entities as well. One, a few of them are the so-called advisory committees. One is at large, and Ron is the liaison from the CCNSO to at large, and who's on the call as well. Then you have the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, ASAC, and the Root Server Advisory Committee, RSAC. And then a major component and an important component is the Governmental Advisory Committee, or the GAC. Then there is, you've got the Board of Directors, the Nominating Committee appoints a few board members, as do they appoint CCNSO, GNSO council members. And then you have the President and CEO of ICANN, which is Fadi Shehadi, and ICANN staff. We will focus on the CCNSO, but it's good to keep this picture in the back of your mind in order to understand some of the activities for the CCNSO, because one of, as you will see, one of its major roles is to provide a platform for interaction with the other SOs and ACs. Just as a global introduction of where the CCNSO sits in the larger ICANN structure. I'll hand it over now to Gabby for the next couple of slides. Gabby, go ahead.
Yes, hello everybody. I'm going to talk first of all about a little bit about who we are. First of all, we are our members, of course. At the moment we have 137 members. Secondly, we have our council, which is comprised by 18 councillors, and we have three councillors per region. We have five regions, and then we have three councillors which are appointed by the nominating committee. So that we can have some people on our council which also have some experience, but not necessarily from a CCTLD, some industry experience, but with a fresh, different point of view. And then we have one chair and we have two vice chairs. At the moment, the chair is Leslie Cowley. However, she's resigning after the Durban meeting. So it's not clear yet who the next chair will be. And then we are the CCNSO secretaries, that's Bart and Christina and myself. That's roughly, I'd say, who the CCNSO is. And we will speak to each of these points a little bit more throughout this presentation. First, I'm going to talk about the CCNSO membership. You can see here there's a map where you can see how many CCs per region we have as members. It's according to ICANN regions. That's important to know because the ICANN regions are not the same as the UN regions always. In some cases, that differs. And as I mentioned, we have 137 members right now. Our latest member is from the Latin American region, that was Paraguay, who joined. This is just an overview of the membership growth in the last 10 years. So you can see that we started with a little bit under 40 members, and now we're almost 140 members 10 years later. So in 10 years, we've grown with about 100 members. And I'm now handing over to Christina.
Thank you. The CCNSO Council consists of 18 councillors, and there are three from the five Icon regions, plus three NUMCOM appointees. We also have four observers from the regional organizations, and we have two liaisons. And this is us. My name is Christina, and I work from home, from Sweden. I'm responsible for the operational tasks of the secretariat, such as teleconferencing, virtual meeting tools, and I also support some working groups and the CCNSO Council. Bart? Or Gabby?
Go on, the only male on the in the secretariat. I'm a senior policy advisor. I'm supporting, say, more on substantive matters, the different working groups and the CCNSO Council, and liaise with ICANN staff as well, in order to promote the interaction between the CCNSO membership and the larger CCTLD community and ICANN staff. Gabby?
Yes, and so I'm Gabby, and you might have seen that I'm sending out a lot of emails, because one of my tasks at the secretariat is to be the informational person that I'm sending out news on things that's going on within ICANN. Also, I'm dealing with membership issues. I'm the first point of contact for members if you have questions. I'm dealing with membership applications. And I'm also doing travel funding. We have a small CCNSO travel funding, which I'm dealing with. And also I do support working groups and the council. And I'm also working from home, which is in Poland. And I'm going to continue to speak a little bit about what the CCNSO does. First of all, the CCNSO provides a platform for all CCTLD so that they can come and exchange information and network. And what makes the CCNSO unique is that we have the whole world represented here. So that's, I would say, our biggest role to provide this networking and exchange of information possibility for all CCTLDs worldwide. The CCNSO represents CCTLD community interest within ICANN. If there is an issue, then the CCNSO will contact the right people and represent what we hear from the meetings or from the community. That's another one of our roles. We also do a little bit of policy development, but that's very, very limited. We do not do as much policy development as the GNSO. In fact, we have only had two policy development processes in the history of the CCNSO, which is now 10 years. The first one was related to some bylaw changes that was back in the first years of the existence of the CCNSO. And now recently, we're actually in the middle of a policy development process on the IDN PDP. As you might have known, we had a vote on it recently, which didn't meet the quorum, so we'll have to be redone. But it's a very, very rare process. So this is the second time in the history of the CCNSO that we're actually doing policy development, because our role is very limited in this respect. We also do some policy-related work. That can be interpretation of policies that are existing. And also we assist other SO and ACs just by telling them about our experience, the CCTLD's experience with policy. An example could be WHOIS. WHOIS is nothing that the CCNSO, it's not in the scope of the CCNSO to deal with, because that falls under national law. However, our CCTLDs very often have very elaborate policies within their countries on WHOIS. And we often share information with other SOACs, for instance, on how they deal with WHOIS issues. Then we come to the CCNSO Council. And the CCNSO Council differs a little bit from the other, from, for instance, the GNSO Council, because the CCNSO Council has very, very limited power. It really just have two roles. It's administrative and representative. Administrative meaning that it keeps track of our work plan. It distributes the work that we have. It comes up with strategies. And it basically tells us which direction the CCNSO should take. So it's leading the CCNSO, but it doesn't actually take final decisions, because the final decision, it doesn't have the power to take final decisions. The final power to take decision actually lays with the membership. The second role the CCNSO Council has is a representative role. It's representing the CCNSO to the outside world, could be towards the ICANN board or the GAC. And these two are really the two core roles of the CCNSO Council. Whilst coming to the CCNSO members, they actually have direct capacity. For instance, we have a CCNSO Council elections once a year. Then the members are electing one councillor from their region to go on the CCNSO Council. They also select two of the ICANN board members. If you remember the first slide that Bart went through, you could see that two of the ICANN board members are appointed by the CCNSO. And the council needs to confirm the selection of the ICANN board members, but they actually are selected by the members. Also, in any policy development process that we have, the members have the final vote. The council could never decide on whether a policy development process would pass or not. It always has to go through with a vote. And this is what happened now in the IDN-PDP vote that we had. We had too few members actually voting, so we didn't meet the quorum. So we have to redo the vote, basically, because it has to be approved by the membership. And if needed, if the council passes a resolution that the members do not like, it actually has the power to have a final vote on that one. It has never happened so far, but in theory, the members can actually change a vote on a resolution from the council. So you can see the power really lies with the members within the CCNSO. And now I'm handing over.
Yes. So what do members do? To contribute to the work, you can join a working group. And we have, for example, the Framework of Interpretation Working Group, which is dealing with the framework of interpretation for delegation and redelegation of CCTLDs. We have the Strategic and Operational Planning Working Group that provides input to the ICANN strategic plan and budget. And we have the finance working group that deals with the financial matters. And as Gabby mentioned, the IDN-PDP working groups that recently had a vote that will have to be done again. And the study group on use of names for countries and territories just concluded their work. And members can help suggest topics and set the meeting agenda for the face-to-face meetings. The CCNSO meets for 2 days at every ICANN meeting, and there's also a tech day that aims to include other communities as well. And the next slide. Oh, sorry, yes, I was too quick there. The CCNSO Council meets face-to-face at every ICANN meeting, and they also have monthly conference calls. And the CCNSO meeting and the Tech Day meeting usually takes place in the same room. So once you have found that room at a NIKE meeting, you know where it's happening. And the big group is discussing a diversity of topics, give presentations and have panel discussions and so on. The Tech Day usually handles similar topics but from a more technical point of view. And the various working groups meet, usually all of them meet face-to-face at the meetings, and they also have different frequency on their conference calls in between. Okay.
So,
Bart?
Yeah, I'll take over from now. As you say, as already mentioned, say the CCNSO organizes its work along different lines. Gabi already mentioned the policy development process, and it's very limited in use, and that's mainly due to the, in fact, the scope of the policy development and the scope of the CCNSO itself, which is defined in, excuse me, Annex C of the ICANN bylaws. And the process itself is mentioned in Annex, or is listed in Annex B of the bylaws. And, say, the next slide will show you a graphical representation of it, and which you can find. The main, or the core of the work is, of the CCNSO is organized through working groups. Some have a more permanent character, like the SOP working groups, which Christina already mentioned, and most of them are more temporary of nature, although temporary is between quotes. It can take some, can take quite some time, like the FOY has been now in active since 2011, since the San Francisco meeting. And some of them have been even longer, like the study group on the use of country names, which is reaching its final stages now. Working groups are defined by, and their scope and activities are defined by its charters, and the volunteers are from the CCTLD community at large, and that's an important note. Note for you, the CCNSO is in fact open not just for CCNSO members but open to the CCTLD community at large. So in order to participate in say working groups and the activities of the CCNSO, a CCTLD doesn't need to be member of the CCNSO. For example, the FOY, as already mentioned, dealing with issues relating to delegation and redelegation, includes non-CCTLD, non-CCNSO members, so from other CCTLDs. Excuse me. In principle, the working groups report back to the council. Again, this is for administrative purposes only. And one of the roles, as Gabi already mentioned, is more or less administration of the workload, etc. So there is clearly a bit of overview, but that's more for administrative purpose. And it's also clear, say, when a working group meets or has reached its final stages with a final report. The final report is submitted to the council and most of the time includes recommendations after consulting the community, and the council is requested to act upon these recommendations if any are included. So there is a clear line of communication between the working group, council, just in order to ensure that they stay within their charter, etc. Some of the working groups have a more cross-community nature. Currently, there are two or three major ones in which the CCNSO is participating. One is the joint IDN working group. This is a joint working group between the CCNSO and the GNSO. The second one is the Framework of Interpretation Working Group. And the reason why it's, although the majority of the members are from the CCTLD community, at the end, both the GAC and the CCNSO Council need to support the recommendations of this working group in order to submit the recommendations to the ICANN board. Again, as a reminder, the framework of interpretation is on the interpretation of current policies and how to deal with some of the anomalies that have been identified. And a third major one is the DNS Security and Stability Analysis Working Group, the DSSA, which is a really cross-community working group, including members from at large, CCNSO, the GAC, no, not the GAC, excuse me, the GNSO, NSAC, and the NRO. So, next slide. This is just a graphical representation of the PDP, and that you see, again, you see there are different stages, and if you want to see the full graph, you can find it on the CCNSO website. The first step is initiating the PDP, then determining the scope, etc. This is what you can see then. The structuring of a PDP, and going back to the current PDP, the IDN one, we are now in the final stage of the CCNSO members vote, so the second round, and once that's concluded, and assuming it's get adopted, the recommendations will go to the board for a board vote. And again, this is all, the graphical representation is a representation of Annex B of the ICANN bylaws. So another way, and this is becoming more, as a starting point, say to date, the CCNSO had two study groups, and the difference between a study group and a working group is in fact that the charter is very lightweight. It is only advising to the GAC Council, and it's more research focused than, say, the working groups, which are more into policy related work or advising on, say, for example, on the ICANN strategic and operational planning processes. So currently there is the study group on the use of country and territory names as TLDs. As said, they are reaching its final stages, and say if you look at the recommendations to the council, one of the recommendations is to set up a cross-community working group in order to really use the results of this study group and come up with recommendations to the ICANN community in how to deal with the country and territory names. So again, it clearly shows the difference between what is a study group and what is a true working group. And finally, there are CCNSO council committees. Again, most of them are administrative focused. Currently we have the Election Guidelines Committee, so that's more on administrative matters, and they report directly to the council, and again it's a way to share the burden of the work on the council. Study groups, next slide. And finally, and this is the result of the CCNSO review from a couple of years ago, the CCNSO has a documented process for statements and position papers. If you look at the procedure and the process. There are, in fact, two ways of doing it. One is to come to a CCNSO council statement, that's the second option, a CCNSO statement, and that means a CCNSO, in this case, means both of the council and the membership. To date, there have been examples of both, and one of the major ones, or two major ones, were the CCNSO council statement on some of the IANA procedures. But you can find them on the CCNSO website. The way it's done is there will be a drafting team with subject expertise and drafting expertise, again from the community and with support of the secretariat. The council or the membership has to adopt the draft, and say the statement and position papers will are used to respond to public consultations from ICANN or other SOs and ACs. Gabi, do you want me to do this or will you do it?
Sorry, I was on mute. Bart, I think you should do it.
Okay. The reason why I asked Gabi is Gabi was the lead of, say, again, this was a council committee dealing with the work prioritization. Say, over a year ago, the CCNSO council noted that the workload and, say, the capacity of the volunteers were unbalanced. The council noted an increase in workload, while at the same time the availability of volunteers remained the same or was even diminishing because, say, and that's a matter of priorities of the CCTLD themselves. So in order to deal with this imbalance, the council tasked a council working group or council committee to come up with some ideas how to balance it. So that resulted in the prioritization model. As I said, the council noted a unbalance, and that was based on the CCNSO work plan itself. And the CCNSO work plan is got three different ways that it is presented. One is a monthly update, so that's just a huge or a large table which includes, the current or the activities over the last month, and then, what is anticipated to be done over the next couple of weeks, from a council meeting, and they are presented to the council at the at council meetings. Secondly, there is a year or the next two ones, so the mind map and the Gantt view, are yearly overviews. So, and they look are more forward looking over 2 years, and again, there are two different methods of doing this. Although related, is one is more or less a mind map, so you can see, and that's again based on what Gabi explained about the administrative and the representational role of the CCNSO Council and the activities of the working group, so from the community itself. And the Gantt view is more or less an easy way to understand a project management tool. So you have an overview of what is happening when and some of the dependencies depending on the project or the working group itself. Now, based on this, as I said, the working work plan and especially on the Gantt view with resources included, it was needed to come up with the prioritization of the workload in order to balance the workload and the availability of the volunteers. And the council committee suggested, in fact, a very simple model, which is based on which is called the Eisenhower Matrix, is if an issue comes up, you first try to understand whether it's important, and important means whether it has what the impact is on the CCTLD community at large, or of say, or relevant for the CCTLDs and the CCNSO, and whether it's urgent. And urgent meaning, say, is there does the CCNSO need to respond timely, or is it even so urgent that the CCNSO is not able to respond, which in some cases happens, and especially with, and this is relevant for using the mechanism of the CCNSO statements and position papers. The CCNSO statement and position paper will take at least 6 weeks to produce and to develop. Now, if there is an urgent matter, for example, that the CCNSO needs to respond within 2 weeks, then it's already impossible for the CCNSO to take a formal position and consult either the council or the membership to come up with something, with a position or statement. So that's more or less the urgency and the importance. The way this process is initiated is that the council has appointed a what is called a triage committee, which will do the initial evaluation and review of a request, or this could be a public comment request, and so that is, and this initial review is again around importance, urgency, and secondly around the capacity needed and availability of the capacity, and another element there is, say, what kind of expertise is needed, and finally the kind, and based on, say, this analysis, a recommendation is made, what type of action, if any, is needed, and this is all done, again, this is where you can see the administrative role of the council. This is all decided by the CCNSO council itself. Christina, over to you.
Yes. I've already told you about the Tech Day and the CCNSO members meeting days, and you will receive more information about this via email, and there is a way to find information yourself. I will show you, I will share my screen and show you where you can go on the website to find information of the meetings. Just a second. Okay, can you see my screen? Can anybody see my screen?
I can see it.
Okay, good. Okay, somebody wants to say something? 5258 has raised their hand. If you want to say something, you're welcome to do so now. Okay, I will just show you. This is the CCNSO homepage. And in the left nav, there is a little icon that says CCNSO members meeting. If you click on that, you will come to a list of past meetings and some of the future meetings, but you cannot click on those yet. But you can click on the upcoming one, which is the Durban meeting. So if you click on that, you will come to a selection of different pages. One page has the agenda. One page has a list of presentations that will be held. And once the presentations have been held, they will be posted on this page. You will also be able to find transcripts, audio transcripts, and written transcripts of the meetings taking place in Durban, as well as the council meetings and some other things. And if you have any further questions on information about the Durban meeting or anything else, you can just always contact me or Gabby or Bart. Okay, I'm going to find my way back now. All right, here is the address as well. But it's easy to go to just Google CCNSO homepage, and you'll find your way. So in Durban, the CCNSO will celebrate a 10-year anniversary, and we will have a cocktail to celebrate this. And you can see the date and time here. It's on the Tuesday night, and this is a limited event. So it's limited to CCTLDs, but it's open for both CCNSL members and non-CCNSL members. But unfortunately, we have limited space, so we cannot open it for everybody. So once again, if you have any questions, just contact us at the CCNSL secretariat at icann.org, or if you have our personal email addresses. Because we send out a lot of information, you can just contact us through those. And now I would like to open the floor for any questions. You can type them in the chat, or you can speak up. Okay, we don't seem to have any questions, so thanks everybody for joining.
Christina, just wait a moment. I see that Mauricio and Sophia are typing.
Yeah. I just wanted to say that this presentation will be posted on the CCNSO calendar, and also the recording of this meeting will be posted if you want to go through it again or recommend it to somebody else.
Was it?
Yep.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye.